Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. My name is Adam, and this podcast is all about empowering men to become who God created us to be. And we do that by going on a seek and destroy mission against things like isolation, distraction, and passivity. There's way too much of those things in our culture. We instead fix our eyes on Jesus, we look to the scriptures, and we walk through life with a band of brothers. And that's how we do it. That's how we try to strengthen and increase biblical manhood, biblical masculinity in our culture and our society. The big dream is honestly healthier communities, stronger families as a result of men becoming who God created us to be. You're going to enjoy this conversation today with Matt Austin. He's a local leader in the community. He's a guy I know from church. He's got a small business himself, and he's also the chaplain for a local pro baseball team, the Lake Country Dachshunds. Matt is a guy who speaks honestly. He's been through valleys. He's walked through seasons of messiness and brokenness. He owns his own stuff, and he speaks about how God is just bigger and better than all of his mistakes. And so you're going to love this conversation that I have with Matt Austin. Enjoy. Check one, two. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Forging the Path. I'm here with Matt Austin. Matt, we've got a lot of cool things we can get into today, but I think what would be really cool for our audience is to have just a 10-minute overview of some of your life story, because you've gone through some real crappy stuff. Man. You've seen the valleys. You've also seen the peaks. Yeah. And you've got a story to tell. So would you just give our audience a little sense of who you are and what you've been through?
I will. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you, brother. 10 minutes, just 10 minutes for this part. Well, first and foremost, I'm a loving husband of my wife, Alexandra. We have three beautiful boys. Our oldest boy just turned 4 in early May, and our twin boys turn 3 right at the end of July coming up here. So, yes, our hands are full.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, that's so easy, right?
Piece of cake. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine the only thing tougher than that, it would be raising three girls, right, around those same ages. So not that anyone here can speak to that.
No, I have no idea what that's like.
Exactly. It took me a while to get to this place, though. As you mentioned, I've seen some highs and lows. People that know me will know that I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm an open book about what I've been through. It took me a while to find what I found. Not that I found it. I mean, this was just from the Father of Lights, like the Word says, for sure. But like a lot of young men, I got married soon after high school, handful of years after high school, to a gal I went to high school with, and we went to church together, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. We were pretty good friends, but it just wasn't there. And after, it was so long ago, after about 8 years, that just kind of fizzled away, and I took some time to myself and kind of jumped back into it way too fast again. Met somebody, and it just, again, about 100 miles an hour when I should have been going like 25, and kind of one of those whirlwind romances you hear about or see on TV on some silly show. And long story short, we got married and divorced in the same year, and it was soon after that. That was the lowest of the low for me at that time. Yeah.
How old were you at that point?
Let's see. I can't believe that was about 10 years ago. So I was in my mid-30s then, like 30, 34, 35, because I'll be 46 tomorrow, actually.
Hey,
you forget sometimes, you know?
Yeah, thank you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like a week before Father's Day, too.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good month for you,
man.
Yeah,
it is. Cool. And my wife is actually like 6-7 days before, so we're right there.
Wow.
Right there with each other on
That's
our birthdays.
Cool. It's a big month for the Austin family.
May, June, and July is very, very busy with birthdays and celebrations.
With the kids, too, yeah.
For sure, yeah.
So you're in your mid-30s, mm-hmm. You're fresh off this divorce.
Yeah.
Married and divorced in the same year, but you also have this other relationship from your, like, early 20s, mm-hmm. or late teens, early 20s.
Yeah.
What does that do for the mental space and the emotional place that you're in at that point?
It destroyed me. I mean, I've always considered myself, as far as the traditional definition of masculinity goes, I always thought I was kind of that person, and I was crumbled.
Yeah.
When I met my second wife, or when we got married, that's right when we started going to Mercy Hill. And
wow. The Milwaukee campus?
Yeah, that was in Bayview. And yeah. I didn't, they're like, hey, we're going to go check out this church in Bayview. Come check it out. And I was like, I don't know. I grew up Lutheran. That's kind of what I was used to.
Yes. Lutheran guy. Yes, knuckles, sir. Man.
You know
knuckles.
It. Missouri Synod for life. And I'm very fond of Hales Corners Lutheran. It was an awesome church.
That is a good church.
Yeah, I have a lot of family that still goes there.
Yeah.
I'm very fond of that church. My nieces and nephews go there, have graduated from school there. That's kind of what I was used to. And the last thing I wanted to do was go to some, church in Bayview with a, hippie pastor, wearing it with his long beard and rolled pants. What's the word for a lot of those?
Hipster.
Hipster. Thank you.
Remember yeah. Hipsters?
Yeah. Yeah. Hipster.
They're now guys in their mid 40s.
I know. Yeah, exactly. And,
like us.
For sure. It totally is. And then I went and saw Tommy preach and I was like, wow, this is, I need that hipster pastor in my life. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And we attended faithfully. And after, we got married in early January, and after a handful of weeks, she just said, this isn't working out. I'm going back to my ex-husband.
Holy crap.
The dude that kind of left her high and dry with two babies and diapers. And I kind of swooped in soon after that as the hero. And that's kind of how that worked. Both her and I at the time were looking for something that was lacking from a previous relationship, marriage.
Yeah.
And, but, we filled that void with the wrong thing. God was just something we did on Sunday mornings for a couple of hours, and it just wasn't taken seriously, and it just it crumbled, and it was tough because we still both wanted to go to church, to Mercy Hill. We both appreciated that church, and man, it was awkward.
So after the divorce, you're both going to the same church on a Sunday morning?
Well, fortunately, I don't want to say fortunately, but as it happened by midsummer, I would say late spring, she just decided it was time to go elsewhere. And then one day she wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that was tough. I mean, at that time she had two little kids that I grew attached to, and, so I was a stepdad before I was an actual father in my own right. And so that was tough to just not see them, because they would come up and say hi to me every Sunday. And it was tough, but it felt good. But when that was gone, I was like, okay, this is a new chapter. I have to. At that point in my life, I never elevated Jesus to the point that I needed to make things work, for lack of a better term. I always had a faith in God, but you see all the time people on TV say they believe in God.
Right.
Oprah talks about God all the time. I mean, all these
people
on TV talk about God, but it was my uncle. He was my mentor. My dad died when I was 14 years old, and my uncle, one of which is a twin, oddly enough, they were my mentors growing up. Also mentors to Kevin, because they went to the Kevin Elke. They went to the same church, so
nice.
It was kind of neat to see that kind of come full circle nowadays. So,
that's cool.
Yeah,
small world.
Yeah, but he just flat out said to me, "Is having Jesus enough?" And that broke me.
Whoa!
It's such a simple question, and I didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Sure. Immediately, yeah, of course. I'm a believer. Sure. Sure it is. But then when you really break that down, and is having Jesus enough?
Right.
And I realized at that point, 34, 35 years old, that I finally rested on that. That I made it a point in my life to say that Jesus was enough. If I'm not married, if I never have kids, Jesus is enough. I have Jesus. And it still took a while to fight through the demons of the previous, at that point in my life, 10 years. Mm-hmm. From my early 20s to mid 30s, to battle that. And, you know, because it was the enemy just attacking me constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Just feelings of worthlessness, inadequacy. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And, thankfully that around that time I started to develop a community at Mercy Hill, at that church and meet some people that kind of went through what I went through, maybe not on the same scale, but they could relate to me and that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And just started hanging out in this group of people. And, oddly enough, Alexandra happened to be in that group of people. And, you know, when you hang around the same group of people for weeks on end and you start to, kind of have feelings for somebody, it was all I wanted to do at that point in my life was hunt and fish and play baseball, because that's what I love to do.
Yeah.
I still play baseball. I'm fortunate that at my age I can still play hardball. And then just one day a switch flipped when her and I were talking, and I said in my head, I was like, oh crap, there's something happening here, and it's mm-hmm. a good thing. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know how to handle it. And just cause I still have those doubts, had those doubts.
Cause you still had those doubts, those wounds. I mean, yeah. So here's the other thing. I love that question is having Jesus enough? And I think we all want to verbally say, well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a man of faith. Yes. But you can never really answer that question unless you've had everything stripped away. You can't answer that question unless you've hit rock bottom in some way, shape, or form. Not authentically, right? And so we want to answer that question with a resounding yes, but we don't want to go through the necessary hardships and struggles that a sovereign Lord will allow for, so that you can actually, the proof is in the pudding, and have the answer be yes, but not just with my words. You know, my whole life, my heart and soul scream a resounding yes.
Yeah.
Like having awesome. Jesus, right? And so I see the Lord taking you, and I think every guy who has a story worth telling has something of that nature. I mean, and we see it in all of our mentors in scripture, right? These guys sure. we look up to, like, man, he had to go through that. I don't mm-hmm. care if it's Moses, David, Peter. You look at these guys and they had to go through the crap, yep. you know? And
then, I did. I mean, at 35 years old, moving yeah. back in with mom, you know, I felt, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. This can't be my life.
Mm.
But I was coming to grips with the fact that, okay, maybe it is. I mean, not living in mom's basement, but,
yeah.
you know, I knew I had to, and thankfully I had a good paying job at that time, and what I was going through didn't affect that too much. Kind of made me perform a little bit better just because it was just me and God. And so there was that, but all of a sudden there's a new girl. And I have feelings, and I just finished up a divorce, and I'm like, this can't be happening. There's no way my friends and family will lay into me if I move on so soon. And I mean, I looked up to those guys. I didn't want to give off an image that, because people at the church knew my story. They knew what I was going through because I'm an open book. And I, like I said, I wore my heart on my sleeve, and I didn't want to give off that, you know, like if they see me with her, that this was the reason why I'm not with the previous relationship. And right. I wanted to do that right. And I sought out some good godly wisdom from men that could explain that stuff to me in a way that made me understand what was right and wrong.
Yeah.
And how to do that properly in the church. And and it was great advice. And she did the same, you know, meeting with Elise and talking with Amy as well in her right. And we approached that with grace and tact, I think. And we did things right. And it wasn't long after that, probably a handful of months after that, I think it was early 2016 that, we got engaged. I mean, yeah. We aren't spring chickens at that point. You know, my wife is only 4 years younger than me. Sorry, babe. and we both had a desire to not only serve the Lord and glorify God in our marriage, but do that through children. And so some people might think we rushed, and my sisters challenged me on that. You know, I love my sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister. We're all about a year and a half apart, and I love them dearly. They're just great friends still at this age, and it saddens me when I hear people our age aren't friends with their siblings. It's just an awful thing. I can't imagine that, but they challenged me. But the more they were around her and saw the way we were and the new person that I was, for once I wasn't making a relationship about me. Because in those early days, I was in love with the idea of being married.
Wow.
You know?
Ah.
That was my, and I had so, I mean, my pride was just through the roof.
Wow, that's, you know, interesting.
Looking back, I mean, not necessarily, I mean, borderline hubris, it was bad. And that my pride caused me to lash out and just treat a wife in, like, I know what not to do to make a marriage work. You know, so I'm like, okay, going into this one, I'll do the opposite of that. In a manner of speaking, but.
Yeah. Well, that you're kind of going to a question I had for you.
Sure.
Given this life story, and Matt, I just got to say, one of the things I really love about you and I appreciate is your honesty, your authenticity. You're willing to be transparent and be like, hey, this is me. And what that says to me about a church going dude is that he has at least a little bit of an understanding of grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love dudes that can show some of their scars. And it doesn't mean you need to go into all the details, whatever. It just means you're honest about your failures and flaws with guys. Even when they kind of ask, like, hey, you tell me your story. And you go right into it. Well, my story is a story of lots of mistakes, some brokenness, and then Jesus, right? And his mercy, his forgiveness, his goodness, his grace. And that was kind of how our first conversation went. And I was like, okay, this guy's a guy that I need to get to know.
I did that with you too?
Yeah, man.
Oh, geez.
It was awesome. It okay. was awesome. As opposed to, and I get it, because I fall prey to this too, is like that you keep it superficial.
Yeah.
You know, oh, let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk. Like,
hey, what's your story? Sports, Brewers, it's kind of,
yeah.
Hunting, fishing.
And I understand why men do that, but I don't want to continue to do that myself.
Yeah.
And I really want to keep a keen eye open for other guys who will know how to go past some of that. And it's fine if the conversation starts there. I just don't want it to stay there.
For sure.
And so, Matt, given all that, what advice would you give to men who are currently facing hardships, maybe similar hardships that you've gone through? Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's not quite broken yet, but it's on the rocks. And maybe they're in their head and they're thinking about their own inadequacies and their fears and their failures are staring them right in the face and they just feel overwhelmed by it. Like, what advice do you give the guys in those situations? Oh, he made notes. He's getting up his notes. I love it. Okay, well, nice.
And this was my problem, because that traditional idea of masculinity back then that I had built up in my mind, it kept me from expressing my emotions and seeking help. And I was struggling, man. I was just, my mom and sisters could only do so much for me, you know. And I was going to a relatively new church, and I had some pretty good dudes at that point, but I couldn't find anybody that was, not that I was actively searching for somebody that was going through what I went through, but I couldn't find somebody to talk to me in a way that was helpful to me. It was, but most of that was because I wasn't seeking that help as well. And finally I just started to tell certain people that I need to talk to somebody about this. Who can I talk to? And it was around that time that, and sure, yeah, I would talk to Tommy here and there, but his job isn't to talk to me every time I had something heavy on my heart, even though he does make himself available for that. But I was able to connect with men that could speak to what I went through. Even if they didn't necessarily go through it themselves, they understood loss and hurt and pain from whatever they went through, and how being with other men, you know, they say iron sharpens iron. I never felt that until those years in my life when I was in the depths of despair. It was around that time someone told me to read the book of James. I'm like, which chapter? Whole book. Read it in one night. And I did that, and halfway through I was just in tears reading that.
Wow.
It was just like, to this day, those handful of pages are real crispy in my Bible from the dry tears. I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, a lot of stuff that was underlined is kind of runny now from from the moisture.
Oh man, those are good Bibles. Those are good Bibles.
And I did that every day for probably 2 months, and then I started to tie in John, or First John.
Okay.
And just a good companion to that, and those two things helped me through the struggle that I was going through, and I learned to really appreciate what James says in James chapter 1, to embrace your trials, persevere through them, they make you better. But it all started from a point of I had to allow myself to be vulnerable. Dudes don't want to do that. That's just, guys don't want to do that. They don't want to cry. They don't want to, you know, hug it out with another dude when they're going through a very deep struggle. Because again, that traditional idea of masculinity means you don't do that.
Yeah.
And
the old you know, tough it out, you know, John Wayne.
Yep.
You don't need help, figure it out, you know, bottle it up and push forward. Yeah.
And I was just blessed to have met some, and I still call a lot of those guys friends to this day, even though now we're over here in Lake Country. We don't live in Bayview anymore. That's where Alex and I met. But, you know, we live over here. But a lot of those guys, I'm still blessed to call brother today. And, you know, they were hugely helpful. And it just started from allowing myself to be open and to listen to what they had to say, because there's people that want to help. And being someone who was so full of pride, I had to swallow that big time and allow them to help.
Wow, man.
Because that's how they felt awesome. Fulfilled, and that's how they were filled too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. I'm taking mad crazy notes. Yeah, here, I see, bro. That, buddy. This is awesome. So you might have more, so feel free, but just to recap some of what Matt's already said, this advice is so solid. You guys listen to this. I asked him, what advice would you give to men facing some of the hardships that you've had to go through? And so far I've got, from what Matt said, seek community, get into the word. He talked about the book of James, the book of First John. Be vulnerable with other guys. You don't have to try and put up a front. You don't have to be perfect. Let down your guard. And then listen to the advice from trusted brothers. And not just anyone, but these are people who, they love the Lord and they care for you. And, you know, they might have some insights. They might be able to see some of your blind spots, but be able to listen.
Some of those guys that spoke into me, they were in their early 20s, like just a handful of years into their marriage. But the advice they gave me, I was like, this is from the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, there was, you know, guys in their early 20s, guys my age, guys twice my age. I mean, it was just beautiful to see that. And I'm like, okay, community's real. Dude, you know, community is real.
Okay, let me take a quick minute and give a shout out to our sponsors. Without them, the show wouldn't even be possible. So thank you, Matt Austin at Goosehead Insurance, our newest sponsor and the guest on today's show. With over 20 years of experience, Matt specializes in providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and Medicare insurance needs. You should give him a call or a text at 414-260-2202. And Ray at S2F Installation, thank you, brother. This is for all you managers, engineers, or facilities maintenance people out there. Ray can help guide you in the right direction for all of your warehouse needs. It's a company designed to serve. 262-470-6882. Phantom Creek Builders, if it's time for your kitchen, bathroom, or basement to be transformed, then you need to talk to Phantom Creek Builders. They are a premier remodeling company. You can find them at phantomcreekbuilders.com. Also, the Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans, they always go above and beyond to take care of every client. Whether you're looking to buy or refinance, there's no one better than the Michael Creed team at Luminate Home Loans. To get a conversation started, just text 262-696-9048. And last but not least, Zastro Family Real Estate, powered by Realty Executives Integrity. Hey, babe, thank you so much for being on the team with me. My wife and I love guiding people to achieving their real estate goals, helping them build wealth, and giving them an amazing experience along the way. You can call or text us at 262-725-2855. You can also find us online by searching Zastro Family Real Estate. All right, back to the show.
I'm excited for your first book. I'd like an autographed copy.
You know
please.
How many people have told me that?
I'd like an autographed copy. No, but for real though, I only half joke because this is really good advice. And guys, you know, we like practical, right? I love the story. I love hearing and getting inspired, but I also want to walk away with like a short list, two, three, four things of like, do this. And you will see growth. You will see progress. You'll see improvement. You'll see strength. We all love that, right? Yeah. So thank you for. And if you have more, feel free. But that I just wanted to restate those things for our audience.
There's plenty more, but I know you only do like a 1 hour show. So,
well, we'll get you. You know, in a few months, we'll get him back for episode two, and yeah, maybe you'll have more then.
You know, we serve a God that is huge on restoration. I remember when I was going through that trial, Tommy was preaching on Jonah, and it was hitting hard, man. Even though Jonah was running from God, I was running to God, but the book of Jonah is all about restoration. Sure, maybe in the end it didn't work out with Jonah the way it ended, but look what happened to, it Nineveh he went to?
Yeah,
and,
yes, sir.
And Nineveh. I mean, I believe it says that's a city of like 90,000 people. I mean, or whatever. That whole city.
It was a huge ancient city.
Yeah, I mean, that city came to repentance because of what Jonah did.
Yeah.
And I was restored finally.
Praise God, dude.
And it was, man, it hurt. Like I would not wish that on anybody. People ask me if you had to do it all again, would you? That's such a weird question. Like I have a loving wife and three beautiful kids. I would never change that for anything.
Right.
I still struggle sometimes with the fact that I'm a statistic twice, but you know, it is what it is. And it's just a stupid number. And, you know, good things come in threes apparently.
Yeah. So. Well, you're giving hope to, I know there's people in our audience that come from broken marriages. And so you're giving hope to those listeners out there. It's like, no, man, sometimes that's the scarlet letter in churches. It's like, oh, I'm divorced. I'm twice divorced. Oh, like God could never use me now. And that's such a lie from the pit of hell. Like you are never too far gone. I don't care if you're a convicted felon. I mean, the Bible is filled with murderers, liars, thieves, deniers, betrayers, like cowards who have been used in awesome ways. There's only one hero of the story.
Exactly.
And it's not you and it's not me. It's Jesus, and he likes to use messy dudes. So
thank him for that. That's awesome. And I think there's a Tozer quote out there somewhere that says, if God would use a man mightily, he must be a broken man.
Mm. Oh my God, that's good.
I think, and I might be, you know, not quoting that's it perfectly, but man, that's so true in all of our lives when we're truly honest about it. So, but Matt, you're also, this is pretty cool. You're a chaplain for the Lake Country Dockhounds, a local baseball team.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love taking my family to those games because it's you're seeing really good baseball, but it's like 30% of the cost of going to see the Brewers. So tell us a little bit about that. How did that happen? What's it like to be a chaplain for Lake Country Dockhounds?
Yeah, sure. It happened relatively quickly. I mean, our friend Kevin called me up out of the blue one day and he's like, hey man, I got something to talk to you about. And Kevin rarely calls me to do that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Am I going to have to, you know, talk to some people in the church? What I do now?
you thought
yeah,
you were in
yeah, I'm like, well, you know, trying to walk the straight and narrow. Like, what's going on? Yeah.
Kevin, hey Kevin, if you're listening, don't scare him like that.
I'm fortunate that, you know, the pastor of our church is also a dear friend and he's a neighbor. Awesome. He lives right down the road from me. And, you know, I love him and his family. They've meant so much to Alex and I, but, he got a call from an organization called Baseball Chapel. The reason he got that call is because I previously mentioned brother Phil Martinez. He's actually one of the chaplains for the Milwaukee Brewers. And they needed there was a need to fill the chaplaincy position with the Lake Country Dockhounds, and Phil recommended Kevin. But the problem is, you know, we do our duties on Sunday home games. Well, Kevin's job is to be elsewhere on Sunday mornings. Yeah, a little busy. But he told me right away he knew that he would, the fellow that reached out to him from the organization, he said, hey, I've got somebody. And he called me and I said, yeah, I think I'd like to do that, but I'd have to talk to my wife. That's a big commitment because we, you know, you serve for a couple hours on Sunday home games and there's seven or eight of them. So, you know, I would miss a lot of church in the summer. And I also, you know, teach Sunday school with the younger kids. And so I'd be missing a lot of sermons. I mean, thank God for podcasts, right? Amen for those.
Yeah.
Yep. So I don't know, silly me. I thought Alexander would be a bit leery about it, but when I broached the subject to her, she kind of teared up and I'm like, what's going on? And she just kind of said how she had been, you know, we pray for our spouses all the time, but one of her prayers was that I would be used in a way to, further the kingdom, you know, in a way that was different than what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I think she knew I love working with the kids. I was an Awana leader for a year and a half, and I love teaching. And that was like the maybe 5 and 8 year olds. I can't remember exactly. It was a ways back, but and now I'm doing Sunday school with I think 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders. But I think she knew I wanted a little bit more, and she had been praying that I something would come along that would allow me to talk to some more adults, for lack of a better explanation. And and she said that you were meant for this.
And I just, man,
that was pretty cool.
Any wives listening, take notes. This is Alex. Way to go, girl. Way to go, sis. Alex is awesome. I get to sing with her sometimes on the worship team at our church. So yeah, she just empowered you.
For sure.
Wives sometimes have no idea how, like the empowering
power of,
that
the power
feels,
of praying like, life is unmatched.
Pray and then to look you in the eyes and be like, you were meant for this.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. Like, go get him, Tiger.
I mean, it goes above and beyond my love for baseball. I just, it's, you know, that was the first sport that drew me close to my dad, baseball and golf. And, you know, everybody knows I love baseball. I play baseball.
Yep.
But this isn't about that. It's even if I didn't like baseball, I love being a chaplain to these kids. And I say kids, I mean, they're kids to me, you know?
Yeah.
These are kids in their late teen, like 19, 20, early 20s.
Basically like 19 to 30. Kind
yeah. Of. Yeah. They're trying to make it, you know, they're trying to live out their dream just like you and I are. There's just happens to be, baseball, and that they're trying to, you know, some of these kids might have had a cup of coffee with a big league team or, you know, high AAA. I mean, they're professional players. They're getting paid to play baseball.
Yeah. Well, some of the Doc Hounds over the last few years on the roster have played in the bigs or in the minors. Yep,
for sure.
Yeah. And yep. they're just, like you said, they're taking their swings, trying to get there.
And trying awesome. To get back there if they or were there. There. Yeah. Yep, for sure. Yeah. And
it's fun. It's good baseball. Man.
It is. I enjoy watching.
It's not
them.
Just going to watch your uncle play softball. No, this is like
this is professional cool. baseball. Yeah. I mean, it might not be the level of that you see, you know, a Christian Yelich or Willie Adames, but these kids can play.
Yeah.
They throw hard. They're fierce competitors, and you know, I'm starting to get really cool with a handful of them. excuse me. So basically what I do is I meet for about 20 minutes with each team.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do a combined chapel where I'll have like 10 guys from each team.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Some of the coaches show up, and this season, the sermon series is, Proverbs and James. I know a little bit about James.
How awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I
so cool.
I was blown away by that. Like, oh, you're going to talk to them about Proverbs and James.
You didn't get to pick it. It was no. Nope. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Well,
that's,
and what's cool about the way baseball the chapel works is all the chaplains from all these affiliate teams, even this league isn't technically, they're called, MLB affiliate, but, it's all part of the MLB in a manner of speaking. So all these chaplains, whether they're big league chaplains or, you know, these pro, semi-pro leagues, we're all preaching on the same stuff on any given Sunday. So wow. Me here, my counterpart on the Franklin Milkmen, yep. Brother Phil on the Brewers, we're all speaking the same set of verses.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah.
So we just this Sunday we graduated out of Proverbs and those verses, and we're moving into James chapter 1 here, and going there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It's cool. I mean, it's very fulfilling. I mean, it's got nothing to do with me. Go making a
my dog's barking. I think my dad just came here. But yeah. Right on. No, it's all good. So yeah, but tell us a little bit about, like, how do you see the Lord working with these kids playing ball and you being the chaplain? I know this is your first year doing it, right?
It is, yeah. So I've
rookie year of chaplain, yeah. but I'm sure you've gotten to shake some hands, have some conversations, share some sure. prayers.
And trust me, talking to 20 and 30-year-olds is quite different than talking to, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. But I use those tenets of how I approach the kids to how I approach these young men. I love that there's an innate desire with a bunch of guys on that team to get some worship in once a week. I mean, because they're traveling all over the country. Some, you know, there's in this division, there's teams in Texas, there's teams out east, there's
it's teams almost out impossible west. To go to church right. on a Sunday morning so, for these guys yep. in the summer.
That's why it's important for me not just to meet my guys. I can't neglect the other team as well. They look forward to it too. So yeah. on any given Sunday, I have I have the name of the opposing team's player rep, and you know I talk to him and set up when is the time to meet with his guys. But I love how even though they're playing ball, they're living out their dream, they still want to take time to get a word in.
Mm.
To That's hear a little awesome. Message, to pray, to open up, be vulnerable with each other.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing because,
it is.
You know, we go to these games and we see those guys out there. It just kind of slips our mind that, hey, there's God-fearing guys out there.
Yeah.
And guys that want to, they know there's more to life than just baseball, even though that is their life.
Right.
But these guys that I talk to on a weekly basis, you know, when I'm there, their priorities are in the right spot. They know they're blessed to be playing that sport and getting paid to do it. But they also know there's a lot more to it. And, you know, they're glorifying God on the field.
Awesome.
And it's really cool to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And
God's doing cool stuff in baseball. Oh, and in all sports. I mean, you don't see it on ESPN all the time, but like I talk to guys who are a little closer to it than me, like you are.
Sure.
But yeah, the Lord's doing cool stuff in the NFL. The Lord's doing cool stuff in baseball.
I agree.
At all the different levels. And there's a whole other news story being told in a lot of these affiliations and leagues. That's encouraging. Yeah,
it really is.
Thanks for being a part of that, Matt.
Yeah. That's well, awesome. My pleasure. It's cool. You know, people, when I, like a guy that I used to go to an old gym with, I ran into him there, and we were talking, and after 10 minutes, he's like, what are you here for? You get your, cause I had my staff badge. He's like, you work for the .coms? And I said, well, in a manner of speaking, I'm the chaplain for these guys. I meet with them on Sunday mornings. And he's just kind of blown away by that. Like, you know, he wasn't surprised that I was doing it, which kind of felt cool to hear that. But just that there's somebody doing that. I mean, he appreciated that as well.
Yeah.
So it's humbling. I mean, that I get to do this, you know, it's a bummer dropping my kids off and I have to leave, you know, halfway through the message and, you know, I'm walking out and Kevin's probably like, well, where's he going?
Nah, but, man. Yeah. Kevin knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Kevin's the one who gave you the opportunity, dude. Oh, it's good.
You're not boring me, Kevin, that much. it's awesome.
And
I hope I can do it for quite a while. I mean, the team's only been around. This is what the, is this the third year, I think?
Or fourth year. Yeah, they're pretty new, though. You're right.
I don't know what happened to the
Milwaukee
last
Milkmen
one.
Have been around longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dock Hounds, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's
good. I hope to be a part of it for many, many years.
Yeah, man. Bless you in that. Thank you for doing it. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's end our episode with this, because you're not just a chaplain. You also earn your living in another way. And thank you. You're one of our podcast's newest sponsors.
For sure.
So tell us a little bit about what you do for a living and how people can best connect with you if they have an area or a need where you can help them.
Sure. Thank you for that. Well, for the better part of, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've, by law, I'm a journeyman carpenter in the state of Wisconsin. I worked as a jailer. But about 20 years ago, I took a leap of faith and dove into the world of insurance sales. And didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I developed a love and a passion for it that I still have today. And it took me a while. My dream was always to be independent. I've been blessed over the years to have some great jobs working for some big corporations, the Anthems, United Healthcares, Humana, some big name companies. But a couple years ago, I was able to take a huge leap of faith and go out on my own and become an independent agent, which a fancy term for broker, whatever you want to call it. But I own Goosehead Insurance in Wales, Wisconsin. Goosehead is, even though we're independent, we're part of a larger corporation. We're the largest brokerage pretty much in America, but all of our agencies are independent. I have access to numerous carriers. I specialize mainly in property and casualty, which is home and auto insurance, but I also have access to life products. I also do Medicare. I've done Medicare insurance for many, many years, Medicare Advantage, Medicare Supplement. So for those people that are turning 65 or over 65, you know, during that time of year when it's open enrollment, I can be a resource for that to help steer them where for what's best. So
yeah. I can speak personally and testify that Matt is a true advisor in his approach. So even if you already have home, auto, life, and Medicare, did I miss any?
By and large, that's it.
All right. So yeah, I mean, even if you already have the big three, home, auto, life, run it by Matt and give him a chance. He might be able to give you a better deal. He might be able to give you a better package. And his customer service, the experience you get is great. And he'll treat you well. So how can they best get a hold of you?
The best way is just this day and age, just shoot me a text, call, leave a message. I never call myself. What? 414-260-2202. I do have a Google business profile. If you just Google TBC Insurance, it should pop up. I'm TBC Insurance Services. TBC, those are the names of my boys. Their middle names are True, Brew, and Crew. Yes, I named my sons after my love for my beloved Milwaukee Brewers.
But it's so cool, though. It is. Those are great boys' names.
Yeah.
So TBC Insurance Services, if they want to do a Google search, You'll come up there. And then if they want to call or text, do you say that number one more time?
Yep. It's 414-260-2202. And then on the landing page for the Google profile, there's a bunch of reviews. I just started doing that about a little over a year ago, and I already have over 60 5-star reviews. So I'm real proud of that.
Let's go, man.
I like to think I do a good job, and that kind of validates it. And there's my email's on there. If people just want to communicate via email, that's totally fine too.
Yeah. Well done, bro. Yeah. That's another ministry. Honestly, you're meeting needs and serving people well.
I live to serve, man. That's all I want to do now.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for being a guest, man. Thanks for sharing your story. We'll have you back sometime soon. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you, Brandon.